Green Bay.
Good morning. He is arisen. Turn with me to number 266 in your blue hymnals, number 266.
Not the children's time, but I invite all children to come forward up through fifth grade. I need your help. And I'd like for everyone to be seated on the ground here. Come on up. Come on up and fill over here. Everyone here? Okay, so the very first Sunday of Lent, the Midler class did something together, and I'm wondering if those of you that are in the Midler class can tell me, answer my question, what did we do the first Sunday of Lent? Andrea? We put Alleluias in the box, and why did we put Alleluias in this box? What were we doing to them? Preston? We were burying them. Why did we bury them? Maddie? Time that time that we were sad and it was dark and we weren't celebrating. And so we were keeping that word quiet, right? So we put some things in. We went around the room and I had hidden them and you found them. And they all say the word, what is that word?
Hallelujah.
Oh, shh. Are we allowed to say that today? Why are we allowed to say that today?
Because Jesus has arisen.
Because Jesus has arisen. Try it out. Can you say it?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Can you say it again?
Hallelujah.
Say it louder.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my goodness. Say it again. Woo. Say it again. All right. Woo.
Let's sing some hallelujahs. Turn to number 17 in your green books.
Throw them out that way. Send them out to the congregation.
Hallelujah.
The hallelujahs, the second side will come in.
Jubilate Deo.
Oh, Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Welcome to Walnut Hill this morning, this Easter morning, and to all who are sitting here, and to all who are at home listening to us, and to all who are not yet here, welcome. Welcome to this Easter service here at Walnut Hill Church. Life, being alive, is more than just the beating of a heart or electrical brain waves pulsating between our ears. Life is possible because Jesus is risen. Internal and external peace, joy, and fulfillment in relationships, in any situation, between individuals, between races, different sexes, even between different political parties, is possible because Jesus is risen. Amen. He is risen indeed. Join with me in this call to worship this morning, and if we could stand once more together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We celebrate this day, remembering it as the day the stone was rolled away, the day Jesus came out of the tomb, the day love and life embraced this world so tightly that death and darkness do not have the upper hand.
God gives us the opportunity to live.
We choose life.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Let us pray together. God, as we celebrate life, Jesus rising up from the tomb, reveal to us anew what life is, how to become truly alive. May our worship this day reflect the joy that comes from seeing your life in each other. We need this resurrection life, God, to be a light in our community and to grow to fully become the people we are meant to be. Amen. Jess will lead us in a time of singing. You may be seated.
Turn to number 273 in your blue books. We have the great opportunity to sing some of these wonderful Easter hymns today. And stand if you would like.
Death can't.
this verse 1, 2, and then the chorus, verse 3, 4, and then the chorus, and then verse 5, 6, and then the chorus, so that we can get all those, the story in without taking 10 minutes to sing the song.
Ushers, come forward to receive our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
It is something to drink in beautiful music. Thank you very much. Let us pray together. God, may our gifts of time and talent and money be used to further your kingdom here and throughout this world. Amen. As a short introduction to the theme that we will be having these next upcoming weeks, this theme is getting to joy, fully developing joy at every stage, at every age of our life, and at every maturity level, whether a child, an adult, a parent, or an elder. We as individuals and as a community, we have the opportunity to embrace and complete tasks that will help us thrive and grow, resulting in joy. Each one of us is invited on this journey, but take a look around. Take a look around. Look to your right. Look to your left. All these people that you see, these are your journey mates. These are our journey mates along the way. Rejoice, because we are all on this journey together that never ends, but leads to life, abundant life, and increasing joy. Now, each of the Sundays that we are doing the worship leading, we have decided to have a 6-sentence story. So something that's not that long, but a 6-sentence story from different people at different stages of life to hear what are we seeking, what are we valuing, what are our goals in these different stages of life. How does joy manifest itself in the different stages of life that we are on? Well, this Sunday, we asked Adam and Kelsey to reflect about Ada as an infant. And one of the things I think most of us know about infants is that they are a little bit spontaneous. And so, as far as I saw, I don't think Adam and Kelsey were able to make it this morning to talk about Ada. But each of the Sundays, we will be having a story from somebody, a 6-sentence story about the different stages of life that we are on and what brings us to joy. How does it manifest itself? So be expectant for the next couple of Sundays. With joy, on this journey towards joy, we find ourselves on a road with each other, experiencing life with each other. And it is as we experience growth relationally, as well as while experiencing our own individual character growth and maturation, that we find joy. And may we encourage each other to be up on this path with Jesus. And may we encourage each other to learn to live the dream that God has placed in our hearts. Each one of us has this dream that is placed in our hearts, the one that God has called us to live our whole life. And so join with me in a time of confession as we reflect on this joy. We are creatures of joy.
Let us journey towards joy together.
We are called to grow.
Help us, God, receive this growth you have in store for us.
Resurrection life is joyful life, mature life.
We want to fully live. Amen.
Now there'll be a song, I believe.
In your green books, number 89. So we reflect on the journey of life.
I
On a Sunday morning, long, long ago, in the city of Jerusalem, 2 days after Jesus had died on the cross and had been placed in a tomb, some women who had been very close friends of Jesus came to visit his tomb. They had come with burial spices, but to their great astonishment, when they came to Jesus' tomb, they found that the stone that covered his tomb had been rolled away and that Jesus was nowhere to be found.
Oh no, Mary Magdalene, where's Jesus?
I don't know, Mary, the mother of James. He should be here. This is his tomb, but his body's missing.
Suddenly, out of nowhere, two angels appeared. The women were terrified and didn't know what to say.
I'm not really terrified, but I am a little irritated. Who are you guys, and what have you done with Jesus?
My name is Dudley, and this is my colleague, Clarence. We're angels, can't you tell?
not really. Can you prove that you're angels?
Oh, ye of little faith, can we prove we're angels? Show them what we can do, Clarence.
Ooh.
Impressive, don't you think?
I'm impressed. He's glowing. Clarence sure looks like an angel to me. But what about you, Dudley? Can you glow?
You don't think I can glow?
I don't know. Do you kids think you can glow?
Are you sure you want to test me?
Yes, we're gonna test you.
All right. You want to see me glow, huh? Ha! What do you think of that?
Wow. How did you do that?
Well, little Mary, Mary, quite contrary, I'm an angel. In fact, I think I've got another one coming. Ha! How do you like them apples?
Oh! Wow.
And that's not all. If you place your order before the time this message ends... Who's your angel now? I'm flashing red. What's that, Clarence? Oh, Clarence says that angels shouldn't be boastful.
Yes, my children, as you can see by my many spectacular lighting arrangements, I am indeed an angel.
Oh, either that or you swallowed a flashlight. What's the matter, Mary Magdalene? Why are you shaking?
I'm so afraid!
So afraid?
Oops, I forgot. We angels tend to have that effect on people. I really upset those shepherds in Bethlehem a few years ago. Just a sec. There. How's that? Feeling better?
Yes, much better. Thank you.
No problem. I was starting to get a little hot myself. So anyways, why are you ladies here anyway?
Haven't you heard? Jesus is dead, and this is the tomb where his body was placed.
Oh, my children, why do you come to a tomb looking for the living? Jesus is not here. He is alive. He has risen from the dead.
Jesus has risen from the dead?
Yes, Jesus has risen from the dead.
He has risen?
From the dead.
I remember now, Jesus did tell us that one day he would be crucified, and then he would rise from the dead on the third day.
That's right.
He did. Yeah, but so he was crucified on Friday.
That's the first day.
Then Saturday was a really long, sad day.
That was the second day.
And today is the day he was risen from the dead.
The third day!
Yay!
Mary, let's go tell the disciples and everyone else that today is the third day and Jesus has risen.
Bye-bye. Well, that was exciting, Clarence, wasn't it? So tell me, is it hard to sleep when your wings cast off so much light? Well, what are you guys waiting for? Spread the news. It's the third day, and Jesus has risen! Hey!
Join with me now at this time to listen to the story, a little bit different version, but one just very similar, from the book of Luke 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them,
"Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again."
Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. They did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them,
"What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him,
"Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?"
He asked them, "What things?" They replied,
"The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those were with us and went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him."
Then he said to them,
"Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?"
Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself and all the scriptures. And as they neared the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying,
"Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over."
So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other,
"Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?"
That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying,
The Lord has risen indeed,
and he has appeared to Simon.
Then they told what had happened on the road and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, may your spirit be present, O God. Amen. Some of us have heard the five gospel versions of the resurrection today. Some of us heard Mark and Matthew and John at the sunrise service. We all heard together here the Lucan version. And then, amazingly, we heard the very recent EB version of the resurrection story. And it can hold for us much. G.K. Chesterton, in his book, The Everlasting Man, wrote, "On the third day, the friends of Christ, coming at daybreak to the place, found the grave empty and the stone rolled away. In varying ways, they realized the new wonder, but even they hardly realized that the world had died in the night. What they were looking at was the first day of a new creation, with a new heaven and a new earth. And in the semblance of the gardener, God walked again in the garden, in the cool, not of the evening, but of the dawn." Today is the day that we commemorate the dawn of a new day. A day that Christ birthed something like a bud, a first showing or a first fruit in a way. I'm thinking of it this year as an infant life in creation. And it was for the human and ultimately for the whole world. The whole created world. Perhaps too often we humans have defined what Jesus did too narrowly, sacrificially dying for individual sin, so that God could make a new world in heaven without the unredeemed humans. I hope we can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, expand our understanding of the resurrected one and what it means for us, for the world, and for the future. The resurrection of the crucified one for those given to violent gods opened up for us, for we humans made in the image of God. It opened up for us a true way. The desire of the Creator, which was from the very beginning. This is the way that is expressed in the great love and the great forgiveness and the great mercy and the welcome that was shown by Jesus the Christ. See, the world had been tragically set on a human path that was away from the desire and the plan of the Creator. And this is told in that great story of Adam and Eve. Adam, or human being, the human ones, chose to follow the creature knowledge, to imitate each other and desire in envious patterns rather than desiring what the Creator God inspires in us. The Creator knowledge. And so this choice led to sin. It led to selfishness and it led to greed and to violence, which is told in another great story in the beginning, the story of Cain and Abel, the two brothers, where the one brother kills the other. And so violence, selfishness, evil covered the earth. And yet, the true Creator God chose to open a radical tear in this shroud of death. The one who began it all, in the beginning, the Word made flesh, the light that came and cannot be put out, the one who opens life, chose the path of incarnation. And he came to earth, a human in flesh and blood, so that we could see, and so that we could hear, and so that we could understand the possibility of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Jesus came proclaiming and pointing to, explaining and telling stories of the kingdom of God. And when this life ended on the cross, he was raised up, opening death as a womb into a new creation, so that those who would believe could continue to grow the as yet fragile possibility and bring it to maturity for the whole human world. This way of communal love that images the God, our Creator. So for a second time, the Creator God inaugurates a new creation at the resurrection that we now call Easter. As we begin our series on the way with Jesus, joy. Today, I focus on the resurrection as a birth narrative, a birth story. Can we imagine the tomb not as a place of decay and endings, but of a seed and new beginnings? Can we see it as a womb-like sanctuary where the Creator God transformed our ritual for us? A ritual of redemptive violence. The ritual of killing for peace. If you remember, Caiaphas says this. Let's get rid of this one so the rest can live in peace. And brought forth or raised up the true God who is for us and in us. The one of love and life. Instead of returning from the cross in vengeance, Christ came back with open and receiving arms, breathing the Holy Spirit in the seekers and disciples, as the beloved disciple John writes in his gospel. And how doesn't that send us back to the creation story when God breathed into the human being? And then Jesus names forgiveness as a mark of this new life. Forgiveness. The step to reconciliation and real peace, radically different from the peace brought by violence. Jesus, the incarnate one, was born a baby at Christmas. A fragile but resilient possibility of a new humanity was birthed from the tomb as the Son of Man was raised, a new creation born. See, infants are, well, you know, kind of helpless and fragile and dependent. But at the same time, they are resilient and they are full of potential and possibility. We see it every day in Belen and Ada, Adelaida, these infants among us. So the life that God raised up at the resurrection of Jesus was such a life. A life which was and is a new kind of humanity, and it is a new creation. So how do we see it? Well, much of the storytelling that happened about Jesus' death and resurrection uses this setting of a garden that invokes for us a connection to that first creation story in the Garden of Eden. Such literary device offers the believer a path to naming this act of God as a new start, a new creation for the human world. And Jesus, the perfect human, who knew and chose to walk the human path as God desired, brought to light and life the potential and possibility of our human world. This potential real life was named and lived in the stories and the teachings and the actions of Jesus as he shaped and he formed his disciples for the new creation, this true way of living in our world. And as the fear and uncertainty and doubt and even the denial and the desertion took hold at the point of Jesus' arrest, trial, and crucifixion, so this God-imaged human life of Jesus manifested the truth of God's will so completely and so true that he, Jesus, was raised by God's power of life, bursting open the lie of peace that is made through redemptive violence. First, forgiving those he had chosen and taught, but also everyone who had and has crucified the living one, Christ opened up in God's creation a new understanding, a new reality, a new born in a way. And then Jesus invited his disciples to join him, invited the human participation, our participation in bringing the human world to maturity by living like he did. As the stories of the resurrection tell, the disciples had to keep learning, and they had to keep uncovering in themselves and the world God's true image, because it is continually hidden by the lie of the human way. This new creation looks very different from what the human world portrayed throughout the ages, and unfortunately is still in many places portraying now. A friend of mine, Paul Nectarline, writes in it this way. He says, in the first sunrise story, the dawn of humanity, two things went wrong. First, we took to imitating each other instead of the Creator in whose image we are made. And second, we descended into rivalry and violence in such a way that the only way we've ever been able to figure out to stop the violence is to use more of it. And so the violence never goes away. And then he said, but there's another sunrise that we celebrate today, the dawn of a new creation with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God had to intervene decisively in order to give us the possibility of a new start. Now, this wasn't the same God who had asked anyone to do a sacrifice for him. This wasn't the same God who had ever asked anyone to do violence of any kind to stop the violence. Remember, that is always our solution. And when we had made the first mistake of not following in the image of the true God and paid attention to each other and to our own knowledge, when we made the mistake of imaging after ourselves, well, we've always been forced to turn God's original intentions around by making gods in our image. And these are violent gods who call us to do violent things, even if it's in the name of trying to stop violence. So you see, Jesus showed us the face of the true God. And it is in no way shaped by violence. So this new creation brought forth from the tomb, I call it the womb tomb, that first Easter morning needed an environment not much like Ada or Belen or Eli or Adelaide need. Any of our children need, or any of us need. This new birthed creation needed disciples to care for it, to carry on the work, to go to Galilee, to understand more deeply, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that the infancy of the new creation birthed at the resurrection could grow to maturity. And the image of the Creator, Redeemer, and sustaining God would be seen in the world. And though, as history has shown, the gods made in our image continue to raise their heads as humans choose war and guns and bombs and selfishness and greed and the god of money, as we are seeing today in our world, we of faith recognize that there are communities that are rising up all over in a new movement of the spirit power of love. And we are understanding in a whole new way in the 21st century, I believe. The true image of God. What has been seen as true God, imaged as love and forgiveness, has taken hold and is taking hold of the world. I believe it. As our Easter series continues, we're going to see how this fragile possibility of a new human creation, though at times, as we as individuals are traumatized and abused or thwarted by the human choice to worship the old gods in our image, this new creation does grow to maturity in changed and redeemed hearts of men and women challenged by the example of Jesus. We can celebrate today this new birth of resurrection life and watch for the fruit of love's joy that grows in maturity. I'd like to end with a quote from a book called A Farewell to Mars. Mars was the god of war, written by Brian Zond. I just thought it was a beautiful piece. He says war, and I put in quotes, violence, evil, war, as a legitimate means of shaping the world, died with Christ on Good Friday. Jesus refuted the war option when he told Peter to put up his sword. Killing in order to liberate Jesus and his followers from the violent injustice of Caiaphas, Herod, and Pilate would have been a just war. Would have been just violence. But Jesus refused to engage in such a war. He chose instead to bear witness to the truth, to forgive, and to die. Jesus took the death of a world framed by war into his body, and he and it both died together. Jesus was buried, and with him was buried the old world devoted to sin and death. And on the third day, Jesus was raised, and a new world was born. Of course, the old world of death still lingers around us. But in the midst of it, the world to come is going, always being born. And the first person to meet Jesus on that first Easter Sunday was Mary Magdalene. And she thought he was the gardener. She wasn't wrong. Jesus is the gardener, the true gardener, the gardener Adam was meant to be. Jesus is the firstborn of a new humanity, a humanity of gardeners, turning garbage dumps into gardens and swords into plowshares and war waging into peacemaking. The resurrection of Jesus is not just a happy ending to the gospel story. It is the dawn of a new creation. Thanks be to God. Let's pray that we have eyes to see and a heart to follow. God, who at the very beginning of creation chose the human being to image yourself in creation. We repent again today for our preference for our own images, our own desires at odds with your desire. We repent again today for our preference for a power which is self-aggrandizing and pursues a peace which is not peace. We pray for our world still stuck in the old human idea of redemptive violence. We pray for the places in the world where the gods we have made in our image still hold power. We see it even now in our United States of America, in the bombings in Sri Lanka today, in the choice to rape and pillage the creation, in the grasping for power by corporate greed, and the lack of real health care around the world. Forgive us and continue to redeem us. But we thank you, O Creator God, O Redeeming God, O Sustaining Spirit, we thank you this beautiful Easter morning for the world that you created, this earth home, and for the gift of the new birth on that long ago resurrection morning. We pray, as people who long to understand deep within us the true life your resurrection presence offers us, may we be disciples of you, the resurrected Christ, doing our part to bring to maturity joy, real joy, the new creation birthed that first Easter day. Make our community here at Walnut Hill Mennonite Church a community that images you truly through our love and our mercy and our forgiveness and our welcome. O God, we pray. Grow us to mature and joyful life as your new creation. Amen.
As we ponder this new birth, this new creation in the resurrection, we come to God's table. In communion, we remember. And lest we think this is trivial, it is memory that makes us who we are. It is memory that reminds us why we do what we do. In communion, we remember how God entered this world out of an incredible love for each one of us. We remember how God desires our salvation and our wholeness. We remember that Christ died proclaiming a kingdom of love and justice. We remember that death could not contain our Lord and Savior. We remember that our God is more powerful than evil and sin. We remember the invitation to walk the way of Jesus. And so we remember that as Jesus was with his closest disciples, celebrating God's act of liberation in Passover, Jesus took the unleavened bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same after supper, taking the cup and saying, "This cup represents the new covenant of love poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me." On this Easter Sunday, we come to God's table with thanksgiving for salvation and healing that is offered to us. Taking of the bread and the cup is an invitation to claim this new birth. It is an invitation to grow and mature as disciples of Jesus. For those who have not yet made this decision, there are grapes and crackers, symbolizing God's continual invitation to this way of Jesus. This morning we will have one line. You will come up this way and head back this way. We'll have the bread here and two stations for cup over here. We'll also be singing as we celebrate communion this morning. Our pastors and elders are invited to come forward. Let us close this time of communion with saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
At this time, I invite Patty Wright to come forward as we prepare to receive her as a member, and invite all of you to get out your hymnals and turn to number 794, as we'll be coming upon that shortly. Number 794. As we ponder our new birth this morning, we are reminded that this journey of growth and maturity happens in the context of a community. We walk this way together. Patty Wright has accepted the invitation to become a member of this congregation and to walk with us on this journey. While this congregation does not have a strong history of making a distinction between official members and active participants, we still hold value in becoming members. Membership is important because it communicates to this body of believers that they desire to follow Christ within the fellowship of this specific community. While we may just assume those who have long attended are part of us, membership publicly acknowledges that we belong to each other and that there is a commitment with that belonging. The Christian faith is a communal faith, and it is in the community that we nurture, support, disciple, and serve one another. Patty, as your community of faith, we are witnesses to your confessions of faith today and your desire to participate in the life of this community. Please share with us.
I have been wandering without a faith community to call home for years now. I didn't start out that way. I'm the daughter of a Baptist minister and chose to follow Jesus at a very young age. I was born and raised mainly in Iowa with Dunkard Brethren roots on my mother's side. My dad pastored small Baptist congregations that couldn't afford to pay a pastor full time. We moved a lot. After graduating from high school in Waukesha, Wisconsin, a suburb of Milwaukee, I attended Baptist Bible College in northeastern Pennsylvania. While I didn't really make a very good fundamentalist Baptist because I asked too many questions, I did manage to graduate and went to work with a Christian ministry in Elkhart on behalf of the persecuted church in the Soviet Union. I began developing my graphic design skills in that ministry. While I enjoyed that job very much, I really wanted to work in an environment that would expose me to a broader range of people and viewpoints. Somewhere I could use my graphic design skills, be intellectually challenged, and share my faith with those who didn't believe. WNIT Television offered me a position, and from there I moved to the Elkhart Public Library, where I produced all its promotional materials for their six locations. I continued to be very active in church ministry during these years. Around 1999, though, I had a major crisis of faith. I began to doubt and question everything I'd been taught and thought I believed. After the dust settled, I was left with two truths: God existed, and that God loved me. Everything else was gone. I floundered for some time, visiting a variety of faith communities while trying to rebuild my faith in theology. I found a couple church communities where I felt somewhat at home, but they were short-lived. My beloved pastor left one. I'm not used to that. I've always been on the pastor's family end of that equation. The other church closed its doors. I grew tired of searching for somewhere I fit, where I could be myself with my questions and doubts, grow in my faith, and serve in community. Then a friend, Sharon Norton, recommended I try Walnut Hill. I was skeptical, afraid to get my hopes up. I remember praying on my way to the first Winter Wednesday supper meeting I attended. I told God I was tired of church hunting, and if this was the place for me, I'd need a very, very clear sign. I was longing for a community with whom I could connect on multiple levels. That evening, I ate with Janice, Brian, Preston, and Landry, Liz Yoder, and some others that I'm sorry I can't recall right now. The first two topics of dinner table conversation were a story that aired on NPR that day and Harry Potter. Both are great favorites of mine. Afterwards, Ben presented an interesting talk on the Bible. I thought I just may have found my people and a community where I could truly belong. I've attended services here as I am able for a little over a year. You all have taken me in with such warmth and acceptance. I've enjoyed getting to know you and developing new friendships. I love who you are, how you worship, and how you strive to live out your faith in the congregation, the community, and the world. I want to be a part of you. So here I am. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. We ask these questions to receive your public affirmation of faith. Patty, do you reaffirm your faith in Christ and commit yourself to Jesus as Lord and Savior?
I do.
Do you commit to loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself?
I do.
Do you commit to our congregation's covenant of practices?
I do.
And are you willing to give and receive counsel in the congregation?
I do. Yes.
This membership is not just a commitment on the part of Patty. It is indeed a shared responsibility for all of us. It is a reminder of our own commitments to being a part of this community, as well as our commitment to Patty and to one another. In response to her confessions of faith, let us read this commitment found in your hymnal worship book, number 794. Patty, now presented to you, has witnessed to her faith in Jesus Christ and offers herself as a companion in our obedience to Christ. It is our privilege and our joy to welcome Patty into our family of faith.
We greatly receive you, even as Christ has received us. We open ourselves to fellowship with you in worship, study, service, and discipline. We pledge our willingness to give and receive counsel, to offer and accept forgiveness in the redeemed community. We joyfully accept you as partners, both in the care of our spiritual family and in the mission to our world.
Patty, we want to give you this Walnut Hill cross. Many in the congregation have a cross like this, and it is a reminder of our commitment and our belonging to one another here at Walnut Hill.
Thank you.
Welcome. Let us close with a prayer. God, our companion, we give you thanks for Patty and her willingness to serve you, to stick with you through these many years of questions and doubt. May this community be a place for her to grow and flourish as your disciple. May her commitment remind us of our own confessions of faith and commitments to you and to this faith community. May we all grow and mature in faith until your kingdom comes and your will is done on this earth as it is in heaven. Amen.